This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When you don't want your busy evenings to signal the end of dinner time exploration, try Blue Apron's 2 or 4 serving menu plan so you're always cooking something new and enjoying fresh seasonal ingredients. With 60-plus options each week, you can choose from an ever-changing mix of high-quality meat, fish, vegetarian, WW-recommended, and wellness offerings. Order now and get $110 off across your first 5 orders when you visit blueapron.com/unique.
The Road to Rediscovery is sponsored by BetterHelp. Let me ask you something. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? You know, for me growing up, feelings of anxiety, inadequacy, doubt, and even imposter syndrome got in the way of me reaching my goals and reaching my full potential, right? So BetterHelp addresses these and more. It's not a crisis line and it's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't have to ever sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and get this, financial aid is even available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. They mean it. Visit BetterHelp.com/RoadToRediscovery. That's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. And there's a special offer for our Road to Rediscovery listeners. Get 10% off your first month when you register at BetterHelp.com/RoadToRediscovery. We're all on this journey of life together, and it sure feels good to know professional help is within our reach with BetterHelp. Again, that's Better, H-E-L-P. Thanks to BetterHelp for sponsoring this podcast. Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on The Road to Rediscovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, take it to the next level and help others who are struggling through dark times. Now, as you know, on the Road to Rediscovery, we are very passionate about delivering content that is of quality and value to you and your personal growth. If you like what you hear, please visit roadtorediscovery.com/donate. That's road, the number 2, rediscovery.com/donate. We'll give you a shout out in a future episode. And as always, there is no obligation. We are truly, truly grateful for your listenership. Now, my special guest has helped thousands of professionals take reins of their professional destiny and permanently break free of the necessity of job searching. He's a career coach and expert in the hidden job market. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Anish Majumdar to the show. Hey, Anish, it's great to have you here, sir.
How are you, Aubrey? I'm so happy to be here. I'm really thrilled. This is like clearly a highlight of my day, my week, probably my year. So I'm very, very happy to be here.
Oh, thank you, man. I mean, we're thrilled to have you here and ready for you to share some insights for sure. So I'm going to go a little left of center here. I had a kickoff or leading question for you, but I just got to ask. I got to know, man. Can you share for the listeners, what is the hidden job market?
Yes, it sounds very, I know, it sounds very like mysterious. The hidden job market is basically kind of an umbrella term to mean every way that you could possibly land an opportunity, find an opportunity, create an opportunity for yourself that that didn't include you having to go through the job boards. The job boards like Monster, Indeed, and all of that, they by all estimates, it accounts for something like 20% of all the roles that your average person who's looking for a job might put themselves into. So what my focus has been, as much because, you know, back in the days when I was a job seeker, I was non-traditional to say the least, you know. So, so I realized first and foremost, you know, knocking on doors for some reason, my accomplishments professionally were not translating into more of those doors opening through when I was coming through those job boards, when I was trying to get attention. And so it made me very curious, and it kind of set me on this path to say, hey, you know what? This hidden job market, if it really accounts for this much more of the total opportunities, is there a way that we could diversify our approach, certainly, to make that more of what our plan for success is, and to bring that kind of abundance and that kind of alternate approach kind of into it. So that's the long drawn out way, I guess, to say, you know, the hidden job market is really as much the marketplace of people, you know, whether it's an executive to an executive or leaders to leaders who are out there independently looking to solve problems and looking to advance things.
Yeah, for sure. And it sounds like there is an importance to unearth that, right? To help other people realize that, hey, this does exist. You know, there's a lot of traffic driven to the standard Monsters and Indeeds, like you mentioned. But there is this that accounts for additional opportunities, to your point.
Definitely. So, especially if you're feeling down, especially if you're feeling, just to stack on what you're saying, in my work, I'll encounter a lot of people who are feeling like really down and upset because maybe they say, you know what, the number of opportunities for someone like me in the metropolis I want to be in is so small, or I'm reentering the workforce, the kinds of job postings I'm seeing, that's not me, you know, and it tends to, you know, people tend to make this erroneous thing where they'll look at a couple of postings and try to make like a summation that's like the full amount of what's there. And really, I really want to, if anything, I just want to like highlight and re-highlight the message that the challenge is just getting into the flow of the abundance. But the abundance for all of us, you're always going to have more amazing dream opportunities than you can ever shake a stick at. It's only a question of what you're willing to do to put yourself in the mode towards accepting them or not, you know?
Yeah, putting yourself out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Without a doubt. So I know you alluded to some of your own personal experiences when you were explaining the hidden job market, but can you give the listeners maybe a little more of a glimpse into your journey that inspired you to the great work you're doing today?
Yeah, I don't think anyone is as surprised. Well, yeah, maybe my wife is more surprised at the way things have gone. But I'm a close second to that. This was never, in the cards for me. I grew up in Montreal, and acting was, for a shy, introverted kid, that was the first kind of taste of like real freedom. And that was my career. From college into my 20s, I was a film and TV actor. In trying to make a living, I was. I also learned the craft of how to be a journalist. I think my career has been kind of old school in a way because, you know, rather than going the schooling way, I've kind of sometimes been thrust myself like into that. I remember the very first, you know, article assignment I got was to cover this Bengali cultural festival in Atlanta. And literally I was looking up, how do you interview someone, while I was like, you know, on the bus ride down. So it was a little bit of that. So I was a journalist. I was writing in 2014, my novel, The Isolation Door, came out. And in the midst of all of this, what started out as a sideline really was, you know, writing resumes, trying to help people in the job search. And I found myself one day picking up the phone, having a conversation with this guy, Arthur, who was in his 50s. He was an architect. Ostensibly, he wanted a job. But it was underneath that that really made that impact, because this guy, he was really broken up. And at the end of this amazing life, this life that was filled with amazing accomplishments, incredible in his field, what he was feeling on the floor right now was he was feeling like a failure, because he had no equity in the company that he had spent the bulk of his life with. He had done all these accomplishments, but they were taking the credit for that. He wasn't really going to get that. And now he was feeling like, am I out there competing with people who are in their 20s and their 30s? Because that's not me, you know? It's not the reality of what the situation was, but I remember hanging up that phone and, you know, really for the first time in a way that was very different from any of the other changes in my career, it was the first time where it wasn't, I guess, in some sense about what I saw or what was ahead of it. It was just a sense of maybe anger, maybe upset, and certainly the feeling of, and which persists today, which is, this is not right. Something has really gone awry if good, hardworking people who are building a life, because they don't know how to do this weird thing that we don't even really want to even know how to do unless our back is up against the wall. Because of this is the one weak link that broke apart all of these decades of work, of self-belief, of self-esteem. And I just felt like that was wrong, you know? And it set me off on this journey that continues today, you know, like one by one to sort of to reach out, to connect with people who are at forks in the road in their career, and to say, hey, listen, before you draw this wide assumption, okay, hold on a second. All right, let me just take you off the freeway for 1 second. You know, I'm a big mountain biker, so I'm biased on this, but you know, you'll see all these cars on the freeway and it's true. But the thing is, it's like, do we dare to actually just go off the exit ramp? Because we have a beautiful infrastructure of roads, we have parks, we have men, we have women, we have people who desperately need your help, but it requires that thing to say, are you willing to leave the relative safe feeling, but not really safe, like, zone here, this jam-packed bumper to bumper, are you willing to leave that behind a little bit and say, you know what, I'm gonna make my own destiny here. I'm gonna allow myself to say, okay, maybe I'm letting go of whatever this slow freeway at 5 miles per hour might have for me. And in exchange, I'm going to go 30, 40, 50 miles per hour down these roads that look really beautiful, that look really interesting. And I'm going to see what happens. You know, we've been taught that networking is so terrifying that it stops us from that next thing of like, okay, well, maybe I should just, instead of following a company or finding a dream job, maybe I should find the next Aubrey, you know, the next person who's like me, and see if I can actually help you, see if I can actually start the business of helping. But again, I don't know about you, but networking terrified me. I was like, anything that I could do, but a big part of the journey that I found myself on this was really realizing that networking, as we've been taught, is this thing where, you know, it's like a transaction where the only reason I'm talking to you is because I know you might, you know, think that I might have an opportunity for you. So my guards never go down and I never have a chance to actually equal to equal, have a chance to actually get into the weeds, you know. Once I realized that there's people all over right now as we speak who are having conversations that are not like that, then it all became about, okay, how do I change, and later from the people that I work with, how do I change the first impression, and how do I change the way I'm coming across so that people don't look at me as a, you know, clammy job seeker, I'm about to do it, but to say, look, I'm taking time because I see the value in what your journey has been. Hopefully you see the value in mine. And if we decide to spend, let's say, 20 or 30 minutes talking together, let's do it from a place of no jobs, no strings, whatever. Let's just see if we can help each other for 30 or 40 minutes. And if I identify the kind of pain that I might wish to align to and we might wish to base an offer around, fantastic. But what the first big, big shift that changed it for me was realizing those who are generating opportunities and offers this way, they're taking the resume slide, they're taking that thing, the pitch, they're taking that off the table. What they're saying is, look, if that never happens, fine. I want to get to know who you are. I want to know what's going on with you, you know? And that really shocked me because I don't know of a way. I did, up until that point, I did not know of a way to talk to someone that I didn't know beforehand, especially a high-level person, without feeling like the only reason that I could do it, of course, was there's a job posting, there's a resume, and here it is, and you're going to ask me questions about what's on the resume or the job posting, you know? Like, imagine my surprise, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, you can actually talk to people, you know? You can actually, and they're actually interested in talking to you, you know? It was a big game changer.
Yeah, a big game changer in that it's a huge weight lifted off of your shoulders, right? A huge relief.
Yes.
Because you don't have the tension of ulterior motives or anything like that, you know? And hopefully the person across the table doesn't have that either. And that makes for a more relaxing, open conversation. And it's all about establishing and building relationships, right?
100%.
Yeah, it sounds like it, but it truly is. Establish and build relationships, you know, and be earnest about it. Not just saying, I'm going to build this relationship so I can make this sale or so I can get this job, but you have a true, authentic interest in that person.
Yes.
You know, very, very important. And one thing I love that you mentioned, Anish, earlier was talking about removing the bumpers, right?
Yes.
Going, taking that part of the road, because I'm a metaphoric guy. I'm a guy of metaphors. I love roads, by the way. And so going off the course, you know, where everyone goes, and be that person to go on the road less traveled. And it may not even be a road, you know, the terrains are different, but the scenery is beautiful. You know, and somehow I kind of align that to a term that I think I've heard you say is fiercely ambitious. If you can explain for the listeners, fiercely ambitious and what that means, and also in relation to whether or not that means walking a balancing act or having a balancing act between being fiercely ambitious and in the politics of the corporate workplace today, you know, pushing the envelopes without crossing the line, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I don't think that it's an accident that, that's been a big part of, how I've branded myself over the years, because, you know, in my own journey, this might sound shocking, but it used to take me, 45 minutes, upwards of an hour to psych up myself just to pick up the phone to talk to someone. You know, like I really, 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 really had the words came on the written page far before, you know, the other parts came. But what I found was, and this is where I think anyone can sort of tap into it. What I found was, you know, if I'm talking about my ego and I'm talking about all of the ways in which I can extrapolate and get tons of riches and all of that. There's definitely a way that I can alienate, and there's a lot of ways that I can turn people off. But what I found is and we can all do this, if what I stand for, if it's not, for example, just a job, like if I'm working with someone right now who, Dave, who's been a chief marketing officer for several years, but his problem, if you will, and it goes directly to this, is that brilliantly qualified, but what's been happening for the last couple of jobs is that he's been getting these CMO roles, he's been coming in, he's been putting out the major fires that they have, and as soon as they are out of the major, major stuff, they basically downgrade him, demote him, or outright fire him, replace him with someone cheaper. So he's like, what's going on here, where they're not seeing the strategic aspect of what I'm doing? All they're seeing is my ability to put out short-term fires, right? Well, when we looked at his brand and when we looked at how he was positioning himself, his entire crux of how he was coming across as a chief marketing officer was someone who can solve the trends of here, get a growth thing here, go to that. But his actual, what he actually stood for when you go deeper into it, was not actually this weird kind of ham-fisted, hardcore selling Gordon Gekko strategy. His thing was very unique because A, it was deeply people-driven, and B, instead of chasing trends, he was going inside and finding your own niche, no matter how small, to own it. So when we were like, look, let's change, forget about how you're doing in the interview. Forget about how you're pitching or all that. Let's change that brand right now to mm-hmm. stand for your way of moving a company forward. In other yes. words, the context of talking to you has nothing to do with your skill sets. And I see this all the time. LinkedIn profiles, resumes, right up to the C-suite, people are trading skills. They're trying to dazzle me with keywords, but I'm not interested in, at that level certainly, and but almost for every level, I'm not interested in how many marketing keywords you have. What right. I want to know is, as a strategic partner to this business, how can you move it forward? Now, if this guy, and this is the key, if it's a offer or a process that you genuinely believe in, right? It's not just something you found on Monster and Indeed, but this is something that germinated with you. Yeah. That will allow you, just as it would allow me, that would allow me that if we're talking, not about everything, but for Dave, marketing, for me, when it's careers, if we're talking about it, what allows me to be fiercely ambitious is the fact that, with all due respect, your opinion on careers and moving ahead is not the same as mine. I've bled, sweat, and cried for it, just mm-hmm. along with my clients, right, for mm-hmm. years. So I know what it's like. So you better believe, when I say fiercely ambitious, when I coach someone, when I look at my own life, there is do it or it's over. There is a binary thing here. Just like the people that I coach, I would love to say, oh, they're learning a wonderful way forward. I'll be honest with you. My true feeling on it is mm-hmm. that the automation wave that we're having, the heart and soul of that is affecting people right now. And it's affecting them in how they're moving forward and whether they're able to do it on their own or whether they're constantly waiting on the third party of a job posting, recruiter, etc. So the way to actually push the line is to make it clear, whether it's resume, LinkedIn, face-to-face, okay, we are with a true believer here. That right. when I talk to Aubrey about his zone, his zones of authority, which you should obviously be the big dog in, of course I'm not, but when I'm talking with you about that, this is a guy who will go all the way. I'm the guy who was able to recreate myself out of massive depression, a schizophrenic mom, no BA, no bachelor's degree. I'm a theater school dropout. Everything I've just told you that I've done in my career was done there. The only way I would be able to get there was to go in and out. And that's also the way that you avoid getting judged, because I can push you and I can say, Aubrey, you are letting yourself, you are letting your family down. That is not what you told me that you want. That is unacceptable, and we're going to do it. And the only reason you're going to not be able to say, you know what, forget this guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about, is because you know in every single signal here, at the end of the day, no matter how combative we get, I am a true believer for this. I am a believer in what that life of yours is going to look like on that other side. I don't care, actually, if you hate me or even if you fall down through the cracks, because some people will. But I'm going to make sure that you have every opportunity possible to make it onto this beautiful island. You said you wanted it. You said you had every goal towards it. I am going to burn out every eye, every orifice you have to make sure that that's going to happen if you have it in you. And that's how I can push you. That's how I can talk to anyone at the CEO level. And based on my knowledge of what I've seen and the CEO conversations I have, in 7 minutes sometimes I can be like, let's just pause right here. I know this is the PR thing that you're telling me. There's no way that that's happening. Don't tell me that X is going on when Y and Z is going on. That's not right, happening. Right. So let's talk about what's actually going on here. Let's get real in terms of what's happening, right? That's fiercely ambitious. That's another way of thinking of it is, every conversation, whether it's hiring or not, is really, it's a dance between two people and two psychological frames. And what I would hope is, for everyone out there who is serious about moving it forward, I would hope that you're working on that frame, i.e. that belief part, every single day. Because you don't need anyone's permission to do that. And there's a ton of ways that you can start helping that don't require anyone, even a job, to start moving it forward. Work on that belief so that no matter who you're talking to, no matter what that door opens, I don't even care if it's a gatekeeper or not. What I definitely want to make sure of, though, is if it's Aubrey, for example, if it's me, when you go into that room, they might be like, hey, you know, it's 11:30, it's almost lunch, got to interview someone else, fine. I want it for you to be about the future of your kids. I want it to be about the legacy of your family. I want you to know that you are going to be there as an advocate for them because they cannot be. And I want you fighting for that because that will literally give you the ability to see and do more with what you see there, infinitely more than someone who's like, you know what? First interview in 3 months, you know, through 40 hours of, come on, man. I mean, what's going to happen here? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's what it comes down to. It's finding a way to really believe in this stuff and really believe in what you're doing. And what we found over and over again is thinking in terms of standing for a process tends to be a much, much more effective way of doing that than going through the second brands or going through the skills things, which are all, by the way, things that we were taught. I'm not saying that these didn't work when we were first going out after college, you know, look at the job postings, figure it out. But, the game changes, you know, and it's not a bad thing. You know, it's all of this stuff, which is a problem. I try to tell the people that I work with and certainly the people I come in contact with, no matter what your thing is, if you're pulling your hair out about this because the market is not getting you, this is not a bad problem. This is a good problem. This means that what you have to offer has outpaced the easy judgments and stuff of the people that's there. Okay, so there's a communication issue. You know, another analogy, it's like you have all of these people in these beautiful islands who are digging resources, and every time they want to meet the people who are on the mainland, the message that they get is, hey, you know what, go back to school, go get another training, go through 5 other companies before you're there. The real question is to actually stop mining, to stop everything on that island, and to say, you know what, I'm going to build a bridge to the mainland. That's all I'm going to do. Like, I'm done. And I would say this overwhelmingly for the people that I see: stop chasing more training. Stop chasing education. Most of you are overqualified for what you want. That's not the problem. Stop digging. Find a highway. Find a way to start communicating and spreading your light with actual flesh and blood people. You know, that, by the way, I say this as a career coach, doodling on your resume or doodling on your LinkedIn profile does not moving ahead in your career make, right? I mean, if you're not talking with people, it's not, nothing's happening, you know? And so all of this really ultimately comes down to, can we talk to people in a way that makes us feel good, that feels like there's a good thing? And I know how simplistic that sounds, but that really, you know, has been a huge crux of what we do, is not just training people, rebranding people, but really just helping them feel comfortable with something that we've been taught for a long time. Like, you shouldn't feel comfortable, you know, like if it's a stranger, you shouldn't feel comfortable. You got to be all formal and you got to go through all this stuff. You know what I mean? That's the thing. And I still do that too, by the way. You know what I mean? I still, when I'm in a totally uncomfortable situation, I default for being extra formal. I default for doing all of this. And, you know, I almost have to be like, no, don't, just remember, Aubrey's a human being just like me. He goes to the bathroom, he brushes his teeth, he deals with this problem, you know, like, and I have to sort of just, you know, talk myself back into that zone. But the shift in your brand to something more than those two is a really big deal, because you want people, when they coalesce that first impression, it doesn't matter what that first impression is, but it just has to be something more than just, okay, this guy's working a job, he just wants more of the same. It's got to be a little bit bigger than that, is what I'm saying, you know.
No, that makes a lot of sense, Anish. If opportunity doesn't knock, build a door, right?
Yeah, build a door. And most of us have been building doors for employers for most of our lives. Like Steph, one of my clients, like she literally, until we worked together, she was so confident in her work that she would be like, oh, I can't get this person on the line. She literally, like about a month ago at her work, was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go down to the office. Hey, what's up? Why have you been ducking me? Let's talk about this. And now when we're talking about her, you know, pursuing her own thing, and she's got an amazing background in all this other stuff, it's like, Anish, you don't understand. I get into my head. I keep thinking about all this, but I'm like, you were the same person. You were the exact same person doing that. You weren't even questioning all of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so we know, I mean, most of us, in order to be successful, I mean, I'm sure you probably have some experiences like this professionally your own. You know, those ones where, you know, you start day one. I've had jobs like this where day one, it's like, all right, I'm ready for the training. And then you realize, I don't think there's going to be any training. I think I'm just going to have to figure 100%. This out on my own. Yeah, figure this out on my own, you know? What is that if not creating a door for yourself, you know?
No, it totally is, man. It totally is. And Anish, what I'm hearing from you, man, is the true essence and heart and soul of what it means to be a coach. Because, and I'm not just saying this, man, you, in how you're explaining this, I can only imagine the tremendous depths in which you go through and down with your clients to get them to see the light and to make them understand, no matter how combative you are with them or they are with you, you believe in them.
Yes.
And that's what a real coach does. I don't care if it's sports, which when you hear the word coach, for most people, that's the first thing you think of, right? Mm-hmm. Coach yelling at you. Well, they believe in you, you know? but to your point earlier, LinkedIn keywords, coach is a big keyword, okay? But where is the substance in that where you are willing to go through tremendous depths and to carry your client with you through those steps?
Yes.
Are they willing to do it? That's the question, right?
Yes. And it's the same, the very same thing that you described so beautifully here, the same concept. What's so amazing about it is in the business of you going out there and doing this and generating offers, et cetera, it's kind of the exact same principle, but this time applied towards others, right? In other words, you're so right that most people look at getting ahead as a logistical issue or a strategy issue, but it is overwhelmingly, when you get down to it, a mental issue. You know, we're fighting our own shadow selves that tell us, you know, with every step forward that we take, you know what, you don't deserve that. That's not that, you know, who do you think you're kidding, you know? And it's this push and pull that is there. But what I've also found is in negotiating offers myself, when you're talking with people and, you know, our big thing has always been, no matter what the interaction is, whether it's a structured interview, whether it's not, whatever, your job is to, in that conversation, identify those two or three areas that they don't want you to be talking about. Most job postings, by the way, are inaccurate. They're not really giving you the truth. So the first, your objective always is to get there. So the best way to do that, the most effective way to do that is when you're exploring and you're asking questions, right? And you're moving forward, you're going to, exactly like you said, you're going to encounter in the person that you're speaking with as some trust is established, and, you know, he or she is getting real with you and you're putting the pieces together, you're probably also going to experience some of exactly what you're saying. You're going to experience people, and I've had people before they've been receptive to say, all right, let's do this. I've had people, because the process of, let's say, me and you talking about it, and you're like, okay, this thing that has been a part of my job that I've been sort of avoiding for the last 2 years, now I realize through this conversation that I played a much bigger role in losing my team members than I thought, because I haven't even been really looking at this. And so in between me being there and me being at a place where I'm like, Aubrey, let's go, let's do something here. Let's figure this out. We'll structure it. Yeah. In between, though, there might be anger directed towards you for a moment or two. There might be like, oh, you know what, dude, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. I've gotten that. Who the heck are you? You know what's going on. But it, just like the journey towards finding something really better and creating something better for you is this process of continuously sort of like working out on that belief and meeting these things and moving it forward. So too, in these moments, oftentimes the difference between the person who moves into an offer at that and the person who doesn't is when you see that anger and all that, can you see it for what it is? Can you see it that this is actually, it cannot at all have anything to do with you? That in fact, it's something kind of similar to when a patient goes to a doctor and they've got a wound that they've been kind of sitting on for a while. So if I take that off and all that, there's going to be a poof, there's some pus and there's all the gross. I know I'm getting gross. But that happens, you know, that an offer is another way to describe deep positive change, hopefully, at a company or an organization. Well, deep change usually requires a little bit of discomfort, right? So if you can be a little graceful with that, and if you can remember, and I've done this where I've been on the phone or I've been on a Zoom session, and boy, every, you know, not so great part of my shadow self is like, you know what? Forget it, dude. Just hang it up. It's over, you know? But I'll just remember, I'm like, Anish, you've been this person, man. You know, like, you've been the one who's lashed out. I have. You've been the one who has literally blamed the person who was trying to help you and who actually cared enough to help you in order even to investigate it. And I'll just remember, I'm like, I've been this person. So let me do my best to be there. And a lot of times I don't know what the words are going to be, but you can feel that. And it's like, and a lot of times, especially at the C-suite, it's that understanding that you're going to hang with me, that you understand that this stuff doesn't scare you. That means more than whether or not you're going to have some kind of magical answer. We've been talking, you know, two times, three times. You don't have to have a magical answer for it.
Right.
But I do have to know that there's that trust. You know, at the end of the day, we do business with people that we know, like, and trust. And so that human piece, you know, and I would say this to everyone, and you so wisely brought it up, you know, the most important thing you can do is to dare to be a human being, warts and all, in all of these things, including in your career, you know? And even if that means, like, you're going to stumble, even if that means you're there, there's such a watchfulness out there because people are so afraid of saying the wrong thing. But the uncomfortable truth is, you know, and I've been on the other side of the hiring room, you know, people will get rejected for being too much of a people pleasers. Like they can say all the right things. So the answer is, look, hew to your own North Star. Start developing your own sense of this. If you need help, fine. But start studying people who are on this path. Start studying people who are maybe three or four steps further down the journey than you. And start asking yourself, hey, start watching for this. Who are the people who are positioning themselves around a process? Who are the people who are, you know, taking a different approach, right? That isn't just like, hey, you know, transactional out there. And you're going to find them. I've been, it's been very cool to see since I've been doing this work. When I started doing this stuff, you know, I felt like I was like one voice in the wilderness, but now I could literally do a search on LinkedIn and a far higher percentage of people, no matter what industry it is, whatever, I'm seeing a shift in terms of brand changes, much more active brands, especially in invisible people. So the word really is getting out, I think, that some different changes are necessary here. You know what I mean? We gotta bring in football, a soccer ball, a baseball, a rugby. You know, we gotta get a bunch of them kind of moving at the same time. You know, but it is enormously gratifying because I will say that when you start identifying pain and opportunities, when you're catching something in a job posting, because it's late stage, there's usually a lot of fear, rightfully so, about kind of being disqualified. What I found is when you're in the business of building relationships, identifying pain, helping people, etc., you can make a whole bunch of missteps. You know, you can flub all you want. You know, you can say stuff where you're like, why in God's name did I, you know, you can definitely do all of that, but it's much, much, much harder for the train to stop because there is no one else. You know, it was your desire, it was your understanding to say, hey, there's a parallel between Anish and me that made you realize, like, you're the only one. And it was our conversations that allowed me to see this awful part of our puzzle that I've been totally neglecting in a different way. So if I say no to this, it's not a question of me saying no and I can move on to 15 or 20 other people. There is no one else, you know, like there's no one. So and I found it by accident, and I found it because of your action. So it becomes not passing on Aubrey. It becomes passing on that part of myself, which is a leader that has a kind of responsibility towards making this better, right? And that becomes a much harder thing. I'll tell you right now, running this business, I've got 6 or 7 priorities on my desk right now. Yes, we'll probably ramp up some hiring for it through the end of this year and beyond. But I'll tell you that in the wheelhouses that we're looking for, I have an extra special kind of ear out, as do the members of my team, for people that we're connecting with who have those skill sets. If any of them were to reach out from a knowledgeable place, I would probably chat with them for 30 minutes to an hour, no problem, because I'm like, hey, I could ask them a couple of questions about what we're dealing with. If they were able to go deeper with me, if they were able to reveal this in a way that was really intelligent and directed, and most importantly, they were able to put it together for me in a way that showed me, hey, this is the way to start solving this, because this would solve for the short and set us up for the long, they have the job. I mean, it's easy for me to write a check and create a job. What I dread, and most companies dread, is having to be like, okay, here's what we need. Here it is. Okay, which of our team members are going to have their, you know, next month destroyed interviewing people? You know, it's a deal. It's when you do this, you're truly, truly, truly helping everyone involved, you know, because among other things too, you're holding up a mirror and you're learning stuff. And what I also learned is that I was spending way too much time worried about trying to be like super original out there, you know, what I realized was the industries I was targeting, and this is true for any industry, the things that bother them are finite, you know, and in terms of how it aligns with what you solve, maybe there's 5 or 7 of them, right? So as soon as you get into the business of understanding what's going on here, right, you're going to find ways to leverage this. Even if it's like me talking with you at the end of a week and I'm like, oh yeah, that's going on. That's the same thing that's happening at competitor X, you know, that's what's going on there. You know, these are all ways that you can sort of, you know, spur on that know, like, and trust thing, you know, and move it to an effective place. LinkedIn has also been a real godsend because it has revealed the fact that is throughout all the strata, we're just seeing this impatience at these companies. That yes, even companies that have very active third-party hiring mechanisms going on, we are still seeing, whether based on impatience, personal pressure, professional pressure, we are seeing major, major amounts of outreach going on from executives, from senior leadership at these things. And the thing that tells us, right, when we look at that and we see the fact that incentives for internal hires, internal referrals are at record highs, is that this message, I think, is going out to companies themselves, that they're like, hey, look, I mean, if you can do this, if we can skip this rigmarole, if we can move it into a place and we, you know, you can vouch for this person, you can move it in, we're ready to talk a deal. You know, we're ready to talk a deal now, this week, you know, you know, because you're starting out at a massive place of advantage, you know, so it is a new world, but people are people, you know, and I don't know about you, but where I've always felt like the most out of my depth is when I've tried to maneuver and bend and twist myself into some kind of unnatural sort of process. And the more I talk to people, the more I learn, the more I'm inspired in terms of ways that my journey could go. Like, I've learned how to invest. I learned how to take care of my kids, you know, literally by talking to people that I was like, no, I want to talk to you regardless. I mean, I want to learn from someone like you. I'm so happy that I get a chance to get 30 minutes, you know, focused minutes talking shop like this, you know. It's an amazing thing. And I'm telling you, I am more of a optimist now at the end of 12 years than I was at the beginning. I truly believe, like, the promise that we had as kids in terms of we can do anything, we can climb anything, there's so much there, and we're never going to stop wanting your help, but we only have a finite amount of places that you can go. That is what I believe now, that truly for all of us, like, our mistakes, we're being too hard on ourselves. We're being so harsh in terms of, the harshest critics are not the people in hiring. The harshest critics are the candidates themselves, you know? And if there's one thing that I could change, it's like, man, I wish that I could shake some of that and help you see a little bit of the way that you really are coming across and the way that you can use the power and the authority that you already have, you know, that most of us already have.
Yeah. You know, Anish, you brought up something that really struck a chord for me. when we often beat ourselves up and blame ourselves for things and really take ourselves more seriously than maybe we should.
Yes.
And so, there was an article that you wrote in Ivy Exec, and I read it, and it was very, very thought-provoking. And I guess it was about how to remove yourself or recover from a toxic job environment, and getting over a toxic work situation, right? So in that article, you provided three tips, and you prefaced by saying, you know, you could feel really bad about yourself when it comes to leaving that toxic environment, whether it's on your terms or the company's terms. And the three tips that you were talking about was, number one, be kind to yourself and become a beginner again. That's number two. And then stop the negative self-talk, right? So all three of these rang a bell in my head, and that is the virtue of self-awareness. Can you explain to the listeners the importance and the impact of self-awareness and that it has on each of these tips?
Yeah, in some cases, you know, I do think that self-awareness, like any, you know, of the powerful traits that we're able to sort of bring out, in ourselves, it can be a double-edged sword, you know, and there are moments where that is super, super valuable. Like, for example, exactly in the way that you're saying, to sometimes one of the most courageous things that you can do, and I've seen this in the work that I've done, I'll start working with someone and they're in a toxic situation like this, and their plan is, you know what, it's a wise one. I'm going to start doing this work. I'm going to start ramping it up so that I've got the opportunities and I can leave. And, several times, people I've personally worked with, as they themselves have been taking steps, they're nowhere near the finish line, but as they start making shifts, as they start generating some momentum, as they start seeing changes in terms of how people are fundamentally communicating with them and responding to them, oftentimes they themselves will make a decision to say, you know, I was worried about maybe there being a slight gap or whatever. I know now that's going to be less of an issue, but more importantly, I have to do something here just for myself to put that flag down, to say, you know, this, I'm leaving for me. And no matter what happens, this period of time is for me. You know, that to me takes enormous amounts of, or sometimes too, literally when you know you need to have a job, but you force yourself to take some period of time off because you know, hey, you know what? I'm not good with myself. Like I'm not relating to my family members the way that I need to. When it comes to being your own champion, when it comes to taking care of yourself, and when it comes to being kind to yourself, absolutely, that is mission number one. And I do think that a lot of times in these moments we want a good student it, because on some unacknowledged level, no matter what we say, we're the ones who feel guilty about what happened, you know? Like, right, no matter how bad of a boss it was, whatever, on some deep level, I'm the one who feels like, how could I have failed, you know? So when this breaks apart, even though I know what this person did to me, I know the effect that it has, in order to get away from that, let me just put my head down. Let me just focus on this next thing, focus on what's going to happen. But the problem is that dynamic, talking about self-awareness, if we're not taking care of ourselves and we're not taking the time to say, hey, there's been a whole bunch taken out of me that was not fairly given back or anything like that, if we don't do that, then that dynamic is going to come out in some other way. No, there's no way that it's not going to. You can't sit on that and have it not there. So I would say, as much for being your own champion and filling up that bucket, we have a book that we read our kids all the time called How to Be a Bucket Filler, and it talks about like how, and so definitely I would say probably the most powerful thing that you can do is really ask yourself, like, honestly, like, where am I right now? And if it takes a couple of days, if it takes time, let it take the time that it needs, but make sure that psychologically you're in a place where as you're looking at whatever the next stages might be, that you're pulling in, that you're refilling the tank with things that, you know, will never, ever, ever run out. You know, for me, reading, biking, you know, these are things that I've loved as a kid. Like, even if I'm 90 years old, if you get me on a bike, if I can push it, I will, you know? Like, so, but when you're in a transition place, this is actually where people talking about, they get so far into this thing, all of their things that they were using as anchor points to keep them centered, to keep them in control, to keep them loved and supported, they all break down. Because again, the thought is, if I just get another job here, it will it will refill this sort of emptiness. The key to all of this is to say, I have to fill up this tank as much as I can to the brim, okay, before I start sharing this with other people. You know, right. They're never going to fill it up. But what I can do is I can get to a place where I'm okay with sharing a little bit of my light, with sharing a little bit of what's there. That's what's going to get you the job. You know, that's what's going to, that's the thing that we can't stop. Where I'm like, dude, I had the greatest, this is the greatest conversation I ever had with Aubrey. Are you kidding me? Like the amount of insight I had, I'm not going back to this. I don't care what we have to, well, you know, what moves we have to make with HR to fast track this. That's no problem, right. You know? So, you know, it is that push and pull, you know, to really be your own champion and to really know that. I know it's weird. It's very counterintuitive because it's kind of like, what's the fastest way for you to get a job? Well, you probably are like, I need money. I need it right now. Well, the best way to do it is, can you find ways to tap into those abundant parts of you? You know, like I know when I'm hanging out with my kids, there's like a part of me that is like, doesn't matter if I didn't have any money. There's a openness to love and an openness to just sort of celebrate and create that really reminds me of the spiritual aspect of who I am, you know? And these are the things where, you know, when you're in a job, this is the moment where if you've been hard on your spouse or your wife, this is the time, or your husband, this is the time to say, this is why I'm doing it, you know? It's not just for a job. This is the life that I see for us. You know, this is what I want to create for us. And I know that, you know, I've been in my office. I know I've been doing that, but I just want you to know, like, I need you to do all this. I can't do this without the steps that you're doing. And so thankful for you. You're my partner number one when it comes to all of this stuff. Make your loved ones who are with you on this journey anyway, make them feel like they're a part of it, you know, and remind them that there's nothing to be ashamed of by wanting something better and leaving jobs, moving. This is the marketplace, you know, but there's nothing to be, there's really, really, truly nothing to be ashamed of when it comes to the business of wanting a better life. And if you have that desire in you and the signals are there, this might sound hokey, but I've often felt that that sign isn't all coming from you. You know, that there's something here that's saying, look, life here, it's going to be served better when you're operating at a place of maximum impact. When you feel like you're doing that, there's something essential that's happening, that's a ripple effect that's happening, that's improving as many people as you possibly can. And so that's why I'm putting this unhappiness in you right now. That's why I'm putting this little bit of this indecision in you right now. But it's not because I don't think you can handle it. It's right, because that same feeling, if you can guide those people that you're building relationships with through their hell, the same way that you walked bravely through yours, job postings are not something you're ever, ever, ever going to have to worry about, you know? And this is true for most people. You know, once you start going into the zone, it starts being like, clients, business. Are you kidding me? Like, you know, do you have any idea how many clients I could line up for someone as gifted as you? That's not the problem. The real problem is, what do you want specifically? What's the future that you want at this point with and how are we going to leverage this amazing journey of yours into a way that's really special, into a way that really makes you feel like, okay, man, I'm walking God's path in a different chapter here. And I don't know what this is going to look like, but I know I'm meant to be here somehow, you know? That's when things get fun.
Right. No, for sure. And like you said, what is it that you want? Right. So you establish the what, and then to me, the why is always the nucleus.
Yes.
When things go wrong, when people are shouting at each other, when you even have your own doubts, you know, am I going in the right direction? Am I making the right decisions? Am I doing the right things? It always comes back to the why.
Yes.
Come back to your why. And if your why is authentic, it's earnest, and it has a true, authentic meaning to make your quality of life and those around you and make the world a better place, then hopefully that kind of realigns you back on that course, right?
Yes, I think I rarely have seen people who are trying to get better in their careers and their professional lives, no matter where they might think they are, generally speaking, they're not the ones that you worry about. I remember, you know, in the before things started, you know, we had many, many struggling years, you know, in our business. But it's weird because things it sometimes goes like this, and then it went like this, and right before things permanently shifted into a different place, there was one other really rough one where basically, you know, if things were I was at a pawn shop in Rochester with some of my wife's jewelry that she had gotten from one of my aunts who had passed away to sell it, basically. And so it was my worst case scenario. And I'm sitting there literally waiting to be seen by the person behind the bulletproof glass. And I'm and this is my nightmare. You know, I'm like, OK, this I failed. Right. And I'm looking around. I'm looking down and I'm seeing some of the regulars, you know, and it's so weird because that dark moment, when I think back on it now, was I think I have nothing but good feelings on it, because I realized in that moment, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm here. I'm passing through this wilderness. That's what I'm doing. And even though I'm here, I can look back on what I did. I can look back on the way that I tried to serve. And my conscience is clear. Like, so I'm passing through. I'm not living here. This isn't where I chose to live. And I try to say that to everyone who's going through their personal walks in the forest. It's like, you're going through this forest, right? But the worst thing you can do is to look around at the darkness and say, okay, this is now my new environment. This is where I'm meant to set up shop. It's really important, no matter how dark it gets. Also in biking, it's like that. No matter how crazy it gets, what you learn is if you look down and you look at the things, you're going to crash for sure. What you've got to do, you've got to train yourself to look at that goal and to remind yourself. It's like life, God, they're putting things in front of you and they're putting paths through the darkness for you. That's what bringing light is all about ultimately. But you have to walk through it. It is your destiny calling you to walk through it. And the outcome may not be, you know, you might, you know, walk out the other side of the forest and be like, what the heck is this? Like, I thought it was going to be like a Mediterranean place, you know, but I promise you this, it is going to be better than what you planned for. That's the magic, you know, like that, that if you're full hearted in this and you're saying, look, I don't, is my why, will I have a perfect answer for it? Probably not. But can I be honest about the search? Can I be honest about the questioning? Can I be honest about the grappling? I've probably rebranded myself upwards of 30 times. Many of the clients I've worked with continuously rebrand. There's many ways that you can do all of this, right? But we can always pick up on the genuineness. We can always pick up on the fact where it's like, okay, like I can tell talking to you, like you're the real deal. You're the real version of every single aspect of your journey that's there. And you carry it in your behavior as much as you do in the kind of conversation you have and the way that it's there, you know? It's the same kind of like push and pull there, you know? But it always does come back to, that why. And trust me, my wife has been driven crazy by the number of times I've asked that too, because she'll be like, does everything have to be, you know, couldn't we just have a Saturday evening and just, relax and take it easy? It's like, oh no, now we're going to get all existential. But it is true. Yeah. Like, I mean, there is a reason, and when I look at my family and I look at this life, I have to tell you, in my acting days, I had some vision for where my life was going to go. I didn't get that vision, but I got to tell you, it was a lame vision now at 43 with people that I loved. Like, life ended up through this twist and turns. It's like, okay, like, I know. Listen, I'm gonna give you something here, okay? It's going to be the fruition of the things that you want, okay, for sure. Yeah. But your job isn't actually to worry so much about what the final destination is, what the comp is going to be. Well, this, your job is to make sure that the ship is not leaking, and your job is to set a compass. That's all. It's a beautiful ocean. It's filled with stuff for you. Yep. Your job is to set the compass and to start sailing. But let the destination plan out the way that it's going to, okay? And I think you're going to be surprised. I think I was, and I certainly was. When I looked at this life, I was like, what? I was like, what is going on here? But then as the years have gone on, I'm like, man, this is you can receive miracles while you're working your dickens off creating something for yourself. And somehow there's a strange alchemy that comes in, comes in into those two. But I'm at the end of all of these years, you know, I'm a career coach, but I consider myself a student of all of this, you know, like I'm still
You gotta
very
be.
Much, yeah, I'm still very much like learning. I'm still totally shocked and surprised. But I keep getting reminded of the fact that we're all just people, you know, like executives are just people. Like,
yes, they're human beings, just like
just a person.
Yeah.
It's the pretty girl in high school or in college, at least in my experience, where I remember with my best friend, we're like, how are they dating these people? Who are these blowhards? You know, like what's going on? But now I look back and I'm like, well, they risked rejection and they asked, right? They didn't treat them as some crazy vine. They're just like, this is a human being. Like I can talk to them. And I never risked that. I never did. You know, I drank a beer or maybe I drank two or three and then I went home, you know? So I think back on that now and I'm like, yeah, you know, like maybe one of the secrets of life is just finding your way to be more courageous than you might otherwise be and to find roads to doing that in a way that you're good with, you know, fiercely ambitious. That's right. From one recovering shy introvert into something else.
Yes.
Fiercely ambitious. Fiercely ambitious and remember that we're the same and to remember that this is not happening to you. It's happening for you. And it's a map that is being laid out specifically and only for you. So if you can look at that pain and you can be like, dude, all right, okay, I'm not forgotten. Like this is proof positive, man. You're like life and destiny has not forgotten you. Like there's a journey here. You know, there might be some scary shadows there, but you're not, you're strong enough. You know, we were meant to take on these things. I believe that.
Yeah, those three words alone you just said, Anish, you're not forgotten.
No.
Very encouraging for someone who feels lost.
Yes.
Yeah. Very encouraging. So, Anish, how can the listeners follow you, connect with you, learn more about the great work you're doing, maybe gather some more insights, man? I mean, you and I, we could have a conversation for hours.
I know.
I had all sorts of other questions I wanted to ask you. I mean, if you don't mind coming back on the show sometime down the line, I'm more than happy to have you again.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if your listeners, get good value from it. I would be more than happy to do that. I really appreciate it. I know. I really feel like this conversation went by. Like I've had conversations where 5 minutes into it, I'm like, oh boy, this is gonna be pulling teeth. You know, we're gonna get through it.
Yes.
So there's one special link that for people who want to go really far with us.
Okay.
It's called Tap the Hidden Job Period Market. / ASAP. And what that is, that's the last class that me and my team did. It's free for anyone who wants to learn it. It's about an hour long, and it'll teach you the actual five shifts and the strategy that all of our clients use. We've had thousands of people take this class now, and we've had even people email me and ping me afterwards being like, Anish, I had to do it all myself. I ran with this thing. Here's what we did. Here's how we negotiated. So if people want to learn that, that would be the place. HelloAnish.com would be another place where if you just want to go down the rabbit hole of learning, you know, training from me specifically in terms of how to handle things like LinkedIn, how to handle these major elements and get them into a place where you're kind of opening up this next channel for yourself.
Right.
By the way, you can do all of this without alienating, you know, anything that you're doing in traditional hiring. HelloAnish .com would be where to go. And I guess maybe the last place would be LinkedIn. For those people who are LinkedIn fiends, find me on LinkedIn, Anish Career, put that in there. Follow me every day. What we're doing is certainly it's a priority of mine to keep spreading the message and to, especially on LinkedIn, sharing as many practical tips right from the work that we're doing with our clients every day that has usage for all of us so that you can again feel like, hey, you're not alone. And again, like you said, not only have you not been forgotten, you are so not alone, right? So if you're in this zone, come on, man, the water's warm. We need you. And just hear it from me because you might not hear it from your employer, okay? So let me just say this. We desperately, desperately, desperately need smart, gifted people who are asking these types of questions, who are willing to move forward. There is a need there that is stronger than any year that I've ever been in business, including 2008, 2009, when I went in. So I say, don't give up. I say, keep sharing that light and go back to the groundswell of your loved ones and the people that you're doing this for. Because I promise you, when you have no answers, sometimes they'll have the answers and sometimes it won't even be verbal, right? Sometimes it'll just be that evening that you need to be like, okay, I feel like a human being again, so I can be a human being again to other people, you know, like that's,
yeah,
that's all right. You know, that's okay.
Yeah. One way or another, it will be revealed to you.
It will. It will. Yeah. It will. Yeah. It really will.
Anish, man, thank you so very much for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate you. I'm going to make sure we have these links in the episode show notes so the listeners can click the links as they're listening to this awesome conversation to connect with you more, man.
What a pleasure. What can I say? I mean, you're a delight, Aubrey. So I like this is easy. You know, it truly has been something special. So I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate what you're doing. I'm a big fan of the Road to Rediscovery, and I really, really appreciate the message underneath it, man. So
thoughtful.
What you're doing, dude.
No, absolutely. Likewise, sir. I really appreciate and commend you for the work that you're doing, and I'm just so pleased to have you on the show, and can't wait to have you on the show down the line in the future.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited, and I'm just sending much love to you, every one of your listeners, all of your loved ones. Just wishing good things for all of us as we look at these next couple of months to come.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Anish. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And look, if you have a loved one or coworker, colleague, friend, neighbor who just doesn't seem to be themselves, falling into bad habits, bad behaviors, just seem kind of just going through dark days of despair, not quite sure where to turn or who to turn to or what to do, I humbly ask if you could please share this podcast with that person. Because on the Road to Rediscovery, we want our listeners to know two things. Number one, you're not alone. And number two, there is always hope. The Road to Rediscovery, it's a movement, a revolution. And guess what? You are now part of it. We're all roadies on this journey of life. And it sure feels good having you on the road with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon. We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Road to Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadtorediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have. The Road to Rediscovery is an AJ Shark production.
When you don't want your busy evenings to signal the end of dinner time exploration, try Blue Apron's 2 or 4 serving menu plans so you're always cooking something new and enjoying fresh seasonal ingredients. With 60 plus options each week, you can choose from an ever-changing mix of high quality meat, fish, vegetarian, WW recommended, and wellness offerings. Order now and get $110 off across your first 5 orders when you visit blueapron.com/unique.